Around Comics, Episode 78.
This is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Jesus, my beer was stuck to the table. I couldn't get it off.
That's the story syrupy. Of New York right there.
Syrupy. Sticky.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Mr. Big Apple Tom Caters.
Big
Who
Apple.
Knows how to ride the subways, Tom?
Yes.
Does.
Thank God for Tom, because if it wasn't for Tom, we would have never made it around the
city. We ended up in Boston.
The city. Yeah, it was ugly. It was.
And a carryover from our Monday episode, our Monday regular.
Couldn't shake him off.
It took three people to carry me over to this show. All three of you.
You know him as the host of Word Balloon. We know him as our good friend, John Suntress.
John took the train to the Thursday episode.
Yeah, anybody here?
Hey,
it was really lonely last Friday.
I don't know what I was looking at. I think it was iFanboys video cast.
Yes.
And they had Paul Dini.
Yes.
Have you met Paul Dini?
I have.
You guys could be brothers, man.
Yeah, I know.
The two of you are like...
You and Chris Marshall and Paul Dini.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Chris and I will double for Paul Dini. Appearances that Mr. Dini can't make.
Yeah, Chris Marshall of the fantastic Collected Comics Library, who was also very very upset that he wasn't able to make it to New York as well. So, Chris, hopefully you're listening. We're gonna fill you in. This is our New York Comic Con wrap up episode.
Spectacular.
Before we get into that, I do want to remind you that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable, and then you spot it—that graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders is your source for the best original graphic novels, manga, deluxe hardcovers, and trade paperback collections. Not only will you find exactly what you are looking for, you'll discover unexpected new authors and series. While you're at Borders, don't forget to check out their huge selection of music, movies, and magazines. Borders isn't just a bookstore, it has everything you need for your comics culture lifestyle. Google Borders for a valuable coupon, and always remember to check Borders first. To find a store near you, go to www.borderstores.com.
Absolutely, or you can check out the Border Store locator at aroundcomics.com.
Yes, you can.
Thank you to the fine people at Borders. I would like to let everyone know that Around Comics was recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago, if you're in the area.
We have
as
a live
always,
audience
drop by.
Tonight.
Yeah, Hank and APOC from the forum. Ted, how you doing?
And what's your friend name?
Danny?
I had to stop Danny earlier from reading a Punisher Barracuda book. It's way too mature for him. He's a young lad, and I had to...
It isn't age-appropriate.
Bernie came out of Cold
Bernie,
Storage.
We saw Bernie, yeah. He was released from wherever he was being held.
Great to see
the
Bernie.
Phantom release,
the Phantom Zone. I was thinking...
The work release programs are fantastic.
Well, all those folks can ask Dark Tower about their wonderful Pollist membership. It is one of the best you will find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, independent comics, and trades, as well as statues and action figures.
Hero clicks.
Come to Dark Tower for
Get
all of you.
Song.
That story's coming up. Coming to Dark Tower for all of your comics and collectibles needs.
Remember that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Every Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Thursday at www.aroundcomics.com.
I have to say, last week, he made a joke about the Flash maybe being too fast at making love, but the Flash takes his time when it comes to the women.
Wow.
Wait, which Flash?
Any
all
of them?
All Flashes
all
are...
It's a Flash tradition that's been passed down since Mercury started.
Have you not read any of my
Max Mercury?
Back in 1888.
I'm thinking about your grandfather.
Have you not read any of my
He told Jay and so on.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about your fan.
Catersfanfic.com. Woohoo!
Check it out.
All right, guys. As we mentioned coming in, this is our New York Comic-Con wrap-up show.
So, I love New York.
Back to
New York,
Chicago.
New York. Sorry.
It's good to be back. The city of broad shoulders, but New York was a great, great trip for us. I want to start off by thanking everyone that was in the podcast arena, and that starts with Joe and Jimmy from Comic News Insider. They really spearheaded the whole podcast arena.
Yes, they
were fantastic hosts for not just the show, but for the city. So, Joe and Jimmy, thank you so much for putting that together. Also in attendance were our good buddies Dave and Vince B. from Bullpen Bulletin.
And Miguel.
And the three Miguels. So, the Bullpen Bulletin guys were there.
M&M.
Indie Spinner Rack, Charlito, and Mr. Phil. And we did find out that Mr. Phil is a 7-foot bald black man.
Yeah, but no. Charlito thought I was 19 years old.
Well, it's because you're immature, Tom. You just
kiddish, can you drink?
Voice. I can, and I do.
It was great to finally meet Bruce Rosenberger from the Comics Cast. He was there on Saturday, and left a little early, but it was great to meet Bruce. The CGS guys, Peter, Brian, Shane, Kevin, Matt,
Jamie D,
all those guys.
Adam, everyone, the entire, like, they roll
seven
deep.
Seven or more than seven.
They roll deep.
I don't
man.
Even know. There were so many people.
Why am missing Pennsylvania
the
was
deep,
there.
Man.
Yeah,
they do a fight
they,
with them at a con.
They put all of Why am missing into a car and brought
their
them
pimp hand is strong.
Yeah, way strong.
Variant edition. Pop Cult Online finally got to meet Rick Gordon. He was as cool in person as
he
I thought he
out
would
his children
as
like any good podcaster would.
He wasn't as cool as anybody. He did.
Rick Gordon was so funny. At one point, he had these Pop Cult Online postcards that he was handing out, and his kids were handing out, and they were everywhere at the con. Anybody that walked by,
well, his kid gave me 10 of them.
Yeah, I know. But at one point, he's standing in front of our table, handing them out to people that are walking by. I'm like, hey, man, get in front of your own fucking table and hand them out. What are you doing?
I looked at Rick at one point in the con. I was like, hey, where are your kids at? And he's like, he had walkie-talkies with his kids who are like 10 and 12, I think. Yeah. And he's like, oh, it's great. They're over interviewing Neil Adams right now.
Like, good lord.
Dude, I told them they're going to. Good luck in science class.
I think the earth is growing.
You just have to.
Ian and Matt S. from Comic Timing were there.
I want Neil Adams just kick your ass. He's a big guy.
He could
do
a big
way. He would beat the shit out of you.
He's a tough 60-year-old dude, man.
Neil, you and me in the squared circle.
The Meanwhile podcast was there. And Jim and Sean got snowed in or rained in.
So bad for those guys. They got stuck in Atlanta for 16 hours or something.
They recorded like a six-hour show in Atlanta. Yeah.
Well, next year it's April, boys, so don't worry.
they had the saddest little sign on the Raging Bullets table all Friday. It was, Jim and Sean will be here tomorrow.
Awesome.
But they got there, and I think they had a great time. So I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. But the Comics Podcast Network was a big part of putting
that
together.
To me, the best part about the Comics Podcast thing is... when you do a podcast, you get weirdly competitive where you think that, like, you need to beat everyone, and then you're stuck in between the HeroClix people and the Artist Alley, and then you realize we're all...
losers.
We're all fucking losers. And then all of a sudden you're like...
let's just enjoy.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever we can get.
You meet people and everyone, and
it was cool. Everybody was very cool It was a lot of fun and a nice experience, and thanks to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about it on Monday's episode. We were doing a big benefit drive for Hero Initiative, and I'm not going to go through the entire list of everyone that was either at our table or pitched in artwork. It was an amazing list of people. We raised $1,400 for Hero. And thanks to
Neil Adams, because he was the one who...
Neil Adams waved...
...in a line against
him. Yeah. Neil Adams was probably about...
But thanks to everybody that donated. Yeah. Thanks everyone to all the artists. And thanks to everybody that bought stuff. And I think I had said this on the Monday episode, that there were a lot of people that just donated, you know, and didn't
there
get
was
anything
no
for
way,
it. Just
there was no way I thought we would get $1,400. Yeah, that to me was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Our first day was like $96.
There was a guy who dropped $20 in who didn't get anything.
I saw two other guys that did that too.
They asked, and threw
$20 in. And
well, it's a great cause. You know, I mean, that's great, and it was nice that you guys were able to pitch in and alleviate the traffic from their site. And help them out and gave them a second place for people to go. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, we were happy to do
it. And it was a great ploy to get creators to come to us instead of having to walk through the show.
There you go.
Nice to meet you, Gil.
Resulting in some good interviews for tonight's show.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, shall we jump into the first one?
Sure.
We started off Friday evening at 4 o'clock. It was the perfect way for me to start off our con experience. And
it was all over after that. Greg Rucka, kind enough to join us at 4 o'clock. And Greg's such a good guy and such a talented writer. But he came by and we just sat around and talked, and Chris interviewed him and everything. But at the end of it, after the interview and he was having a good time. He really seemed to enjoy himself, and obviously we were having a good time. But at the end of it, because he knows how big a Queen and Country fan Chris is, he gave Chris, and he's wearing it tonight,
off his
back,
ew,
a black hoodie.
He was sweating.
I'm sure he was. I know Greg, exactly. I played racquetball with the Rucka, absolutely.
He gave him a black hoodie that he had hand screen printed. Queen
it's
and
like
Country.
An iron-on.
An iron-on that had only been worn by him, and I'm sure that was a huge highlight for you.
Funny story with that, though, is later on that day, this middle-aged woman was talking to me about the Hero Initiative, and Sal leans over and goes, "Chris had a huge nerdgasm." And I turned around and she walked away.
Yeah. Excuse me.
I scared her. Well, I was telling David Price about it because it was hilarious. Yeah. I knew how much that meant to Chris. For Greg to do something.
I turned around
and
I looked at you, and then I turned around and she was gone.
Operation Saddlebags.
And that's the double whammy, is that it's the cover, the back of the hoodie has the cover for Volume 7, Operation Saddlebags, which is the Mike Norton drawn arc in Queen and Country. So it's kind of funny because the picture of Tara Chase on the cover is my icon on the forum.
And it's Greg's icon.
And it's Greg's icon.
You are so gay. For Greg. You are just. Jesus it's Christ. Just almost. It's sickening. But
we did have a nice little talk with Greg. So I tell you what, let's take a listen to that right now.
We're on tour with Greg.
Greg, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just a little crispy around the edges.
I hear you. It's we talked a little bit off mic, 52, all wrapped up for you.
Just telling Rod there that I think the very last two pages, which are not the last two pages, but like the last two pages outstanding to be scripted, I believe, came from the edges. So as far as I know, all writing is now complete or not, with the exception of corrections and things that'll happen.
Now you've only lost about 40 pounds through the entire.
God, I wish.
You're looking as fit as ever.
You're lying, Pat.
Well, that's
Actually, if it was a weight loss program, I'd be willing to do it again.
Well, no, they are doing another weekly book.
Different. I got to tell you, what they're doing is a book that's going to come out every week.
Yeah.
It's a very different animal.
Are you looking forward to being more of a observer of that book and reading it for him?
Oh, cool.
For pleasure.
No, I'm looking forward to not having to do anything. I'm looking forward to sleep.
Well, it's hopefully vacation coming up for you. Do you want to talk about some of the other moves or the news away from Congress? Big news about Whiteout.
Yeah.
They announced Kate Beckinsale is going to be playing Carrie Stackhouse. That's pretty exciting.
Dominic Cena is directing. They're shooting in Montreal and Winnipeg. And I believe they're going to start shooting in three or four weeks.
How exciting is that for you?
Pretty cool. I was talking to Steve Weaver just a couple days ago. And we were both still, I think each of us are still kind of, so, you know, it was something that I never I never really thought it would be
another one.
We got offers.
Well, that's kind of the story in Hollywood. They buy up options, and they'll just sit and sit and sit. And it really felt like Whiteout was going to be one of those.
Absolutely.
It might be in your bag.
And sat on it, and sat on it. And now, you know, all of a sudden, this happened relatively quickly, given how much time it passed on everything else prior. So that was a...
It's a case that, you know, as painful as it was to see the project sit out there, but wow, have the name associated with it.
Yeah. It wasn't painful to see it sit, you know, because I never set out the right thing.
You know,
get drinking. Set out.
I know.
To tell this story.
I didn't sleep at all.
I donate back. Yeah. I expect Tom to buy me a
shirt. What did you just sign?
You signed my quarter.
Oh my God.
And I actually spent a couple of
dollars
trying to write it. And I rapidly realized that what this was,
and I'll buy
I know what I wanted.
Good,
you know, when some people come and say, well, we want to pay a good amount of money
walk
for the possibility of making a movie. That's all well and good. So, and then Reese Witherspoon came along and said, I'd like to make a movie. And we're like, great, fantastic. And then Joel Silver comes along and says, we're going to make this movie. And that was good. I think you, I actually had a call with him. He said, we're going to make it. And lo and behold, it did. And I have to sell it really, really
impressive. You get way down here. It's actually very traffic in there, and they don't come over here.
I mean, I was very impressed by it.
Well, I like Don's small dress, though. That's nice.
Really?
It's all done. How are you doing, ladies?
That's
great. I know
and, what Steve might try to do in the environment.
Sure.
And I think, he's got a beauty live. The color of his composition is just amazing. Beautiful looking.
Well, that's going to be very different from White House because it is a very, very stark,
really
very.
But think about
it.
And ice. And contrast. You know, there's a joke that never works.
It's great.
I've got that comic in my bag.
And it was a joke Steve put in. First issue.
He was really nice.
I can't remember what it was. Now, but the joke is outside of the mess hall, all the parkas, and there's a guy speaking to a new guy who says, you were just the red one. And of course, the joke is all red.
Yeah.
We're all red because.
Maybe that can go. Come on.
Antarctica, and natural science, all these guys, cold weather safety color is red. Exactly. Well, you know, think of that for a small baby who's got any crazy guy in his life. And you can assume some real.
It can be visually stunning.
I mean, you know, when ice
and then
ice
is
on right. All the different colors ice can be. That blue, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Well, if White House, I'm assuming that they're going off of
you know what
White House
saying,
first,
right?
The first graphic novel, you kind of have a built-in sequel already there in White House.
You know, I haven't seen Final Screenplay Edition. I've seen previous drafts. And they have different ideas in different places. But I've always felt, and I really do maintain this, that as I said, we wrote a comic. All the writing and movies required to and it's all well and good to say, you know what, Peter Jackson destroyed the Lord of the Rings. But anybody who thinks that they were going to get the books on screen is a fool.
They weren't written for screen.
Because exactly, all you can do is adapt the material. And the second you adapt the material to a different medium, you have to play by the constraints and requirements of that medium. So you can't shoot the miniseries we did. You're not going to get it. And it's probably far better to let somebody write such things professionally. You know, make the change.
I believe there are probably a lot of readers out there that are interested with the movie coming out and haven't had a chance or taken the opportunity to read Whiteout, but Oni is going to get people a perfect opportunity to do that this year. Folks, go into your local comic shop and request your local comic shop manager to order the free comic book day number one issue of Whiteout.
I will. In fact, I'll do it. Don't make me.
Issue one of Whiteout is covered by Steve.
Yeah.
And it's a great honor. Steve and I, when are you going to broadcast this?
It will be Friday, Thursday.
All right. Well, then by then, the following year, we'll be because Steve and I always had a gentleman's agreement that came about after Mount that we were going, we always knew there was a third story we wanted to tell. And the gag of it was, remember those things, the slug part is a picture of a thing in one of those closets that they use. And they're loading the coffin onto a C-140. The slug is, here he's leaving the ice. The only question is how. And that would be the third Whiteout. And the joke was, well, if they make the movie, we'll write it. Well, they're making a movie. So Steve and I are going to be Whiteout.
That is awesome.
Whiteout Claw.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on real quick, because I know we've got to get you on here. One of your next
windows are 51 inches.
Fun. I'm enjoying it. Queen of Country. We're looking at issue 32, summer-ish.
Yeah, okay. I think if we could get that puppy out by San Diego, I would be happy. I'm finally at a place where I can write it, and that script should be done, probably by the time this broadcast.
Chris Zombie will be very happy. It's on its way, Chris.
Yes. And Chris, I really am sorry for keeping you waiting, not for what I'm going to ask you to draw. Chris will fit it into the schedule as best he can. He'll draw it, and then it'll be fun just listening and getting that. But it'll be 32, and then that'll end Volume 1 of Human Suits.
But no novel in between Volume 1 Volume 2?
Red Panda, the arc is launching up. Technically, some of between novels and Gentleman's Game and Private Wars. So after Private Wars, there is a plan for the next thing.
Okay.
When the next thing will happen will depend on some other projects. I suspect that before we start Q&C Volume 2, you'll see some of the classifieds. We'll probably do the Chase to Classified line.
And by you? Or
is that'll be
okay. Kara is only yours.
Well, it's weird because this one's going to kind of break format. This will be... This because by the year, it'll be, here she is at Oxbridge, she gets capped and decides, much to the chagrin of, her people who recruited her, that she wants to be special ops. And moving it that way. Randy Jarrell at Oni wants to do, and he already is pretty persuasive. He wants to do a declassified and called King in Country. And it'd be a prequel so that it's our original scene during the Second World War. That would be it. I don't know if we'll actually do it, but there are a couple ideas. Things like that before we come around to Volume 2. And then Volume 2 will be very different. We have ideas for it. And I don't really want to blow them all, but obviously.
Go back and listen to our last Greg Rucki interview, and he kind of gives us some hints.
But obviously, some people will be promoted, let's say.
Yeah,
so.
Which I'm so looking forward to. Outside of Queen of Country, which I'm a fool for, and don't worry, I will update everyone anytime I hear any news, so don't worry. In the DCU, like I said, 52 is wrapping up. Checkmate is just gaining more and more steam using these characters. I'm sorry, but Colonel Computron? What's going on there?
Well, you get certain problems where it's like, who can you use that you can kill? Sadly, you sit there and you go down and you go, well, who can we kill? Colonel Computron, we were like, well, there are enough, too. So we'll get rid of the floating head ones, and he's kind of silly anyway. And then it made a certain amount of sense with what we wanted to do. You know, what would you use him to do?
think he was in Meridian.
Yeah, that's my job. Is
so then Corvallo storyline ends with 12. And then starting with issue 13 is going to be a six-issue sort of cross-cut with The Outsiders, which is going to be called Checkout, that Judd and I are actually writing together in the same way that Brubaker and I wrote Gotham Central, where we're taking each issue. So, like, I take Checkmate 13, and Judd's writing roughly half of the issue, and I'm writing roughly half. And then Outsiders 47, he's writing half, and I'm writing half. We're very much doing it together. That's going to be a six-issue story that'll end in Checkmate. Well, end with Checkmate 15, Outsiders 49. And then Checkmate 16 is going to be a standalone that's going to focus on Sasha and Michael.
Good.
And then,
Checkmate in general. I think this is
turned
into
cool.
Everyone that we talked to, that it has turned into a way to trade what DC is. The general feeling I get.
This is going to end up being.
And on one hand, I think that speaks to the writing that your stories are very in depth, they're very complicated, and sitting down and reading at one time can help a lot. I read it monthly because I look at it as an espionage TV series. But as the first trade has been released, it has things.
So I've heard nothing in terms of the response. I don't know anything about it. I am optimistic that, unlike with Gotham Central, with DC actually being on the stick this time, putting the trade out in the first quarter, I think that'll help us a lot.
Are you finding more Gotham Central fans as they continue to release the
trade? Yeah, and more people coming out like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah, duh, we're way a year ago.
Well,
and you can't blame them.
No, as much as I'd like to.
But it is very refreshing to see the DC is becoming much more aggressive. I think they realize that, and that's exciting.
This is what we're hoping for now. I want to figure out when are they going to switch to the second trade? What is the next one?
They mistake the humor.
Clearly, you know, that are going to have six issues before going to that should be exciting. So, I'm hopeful that if you decide to have like that, people will be able to listen to
this. Moving away from comics for just a second, new Atticus Kodiak book.
Yeah, the new novel is called Patriot Atticus, and will be out, I think, August. It's not hard, and it starts about 15 minutes after the end of Winterfell, which was the last Kodiak, and then. It starts about 15 minutes after the end of Critical, covers the immediate 3 days following, and then jumps about 3 years.
Wow, okay. Finish up. Any other DC news that you can talk about now?
You know, sadly, there's stuff that I can't talk about.
That's great. We're here whenever you can.
Yeah.
Greg, it is always a pleasure.
This is a great time.
One of our favorites. We love talking to you anytime. Thank you so much.
Can I ask? Sure. Just got further questions. Go to the Comics Block forum, and there's a thread that John Sanchez posted. He's going to do a word balloon interview with me, and we're looking for people to ask questions.
Absolutely. We have a thread at the Around Comics forum.
Yeah, go to Around Comics and follow the link.
Yeah, exactly. You know, John and I, we thumb wrestle for you. No, I want to talk with you. No, I'm going to talk with you.
So yeah, that pretty much wrapped up my convention. I was ready to go back to Chicago Friday evening at 5:00.
Nice, you were done.
Meeting with Rucka. That's it.
It's 200-pound bag.
I do want to mention that we did have a little bit of audio problem recording a lot of most of these interviews. So if they sound bad, it's because we fucked up a little bit and had to try and recover. So I know there's a lot of background noise and sometimes it's hard to hear some of these guys, but we did the best we could. So sorry.
We'll get better.
I apologize.
We're learning.
It was, it was completely
my
fault.
We forgot the recorder one day, too.
I forgot the recorder one day.
Left it in Brooklyn.
Left it in Brooklyn. And yeah, we had it was a fucking disaster. But we were able to recover as much as we could from the show. So.
Yeah, we forgot the recorder. I brought everything else to New York with me.
Bullshit.
Booze and socks and...
Like Bill Gleason putting his beer in the
tube. All right, well, we might as well get to Chris.
Almost fucking exactly like that.
Chris brought the biggest fucking bag. suitcase that I've ever seen anyone have. I mean, this thing was huge. You could fit a person in it.
I've seen people with oxygen tanks get on a fucking plane.
It was the most obnoxious fucking thing you could have imagined any traveling with someone.
Zsa Zsa Gabor?
He
had like
so
evening gowns in there? What the hell?
I don't know what affair I'm going to be asked to enter, you know, so.
It was ridiculous. I mean, it was just a pain in the ass every time we try and go anywhere. He couldn't even get a, you know, we stayed with a friend of Tom's, Matt, who was great and gracious. And
thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt, for I'm sure you're not listening, but.
Was it in Manhattan or was it in Brooklyn?
It was in Brooklyn.
And we stay with Matt, and he lives like on the third floor of this, I don't know what the hell you call it.
Brownstone?
Yeah, kind of a brownstone. And, you know, him trying to just get the fucking thing through the door, up three flights of stairs.
What did Matt say whenever he said, he's like, Jesus Christ, how long are you staying here?
Matt thought you were moving
I mean, it was ridiculous.
What was in there?
Well, I brought everything.
Queen of Country hardcovers. Absolute Watchmen.
I brought everything for the table. I had
I had plenty of shit from the table. You didn't see me with
St. Louis Cardinals t-shirts.
It was ridiculous. It was this enormous fucking giant.
And then there's Tom. I showed up with no bags.
Tom had like this little purse, I think. Like all
his clothes bags.
Yeah, I was going to say like a paper bag, like a lunch sack.
I will
never. I just got my skivvies. I'm fine.
I never want to travel with Chris again. It was fucking. It just sucked. I mean, it just sucked. It was just.
Who snores of the three of you?
Oh, dude, that's serious. Both of you, very unique. You, you have one of these going where you were when you were on the inflatable mattress. It was like a.
I did not moan like that.
You did, and it freaked me out. And I heard.
I have
things you learn when you travel together, gentlemen. I know Clava found out the hard way how heavy of a snorer I am. Jesus, Sutris.
Well, you know, like I said, as gracious and kind as Matt was to have us there, and we had a lot of fun. I didn't fucking sleep at all.
Oh, I cannot sleep. Poor Sal.
I'm not used to sleeping in the city. You know, where there's traffic 24 hours a day driving by. He lives like right next to Queens Boulevard.
He lives in Brooklyn Heights, but right by the highway. And you can see the Jehovah's Witness.
And like the first night, the first night, all I hear is, you know, the same pothole being run over, and traffic 24. I mean, it was just all night. I didn't sleep at all.
Poor Sal looked at me on Sunday morning. I was like, "How you doing, man?" He's like,
"I'm tired.
So ready to go home." I'm like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "I haven't slept." I'm like,
I didn't sleep. First night, I didn't sleep at all. I slept on the couch. Which was
Norman Mailer's couch. Oh, very cool.
And I was nervous about sleeping on the couch on Norman Mailer's couch.
He was afraid
couch.
To fart. Couch.
Why is Norman coming back for the couch? Was it temporarily housed in your friend's house, or is it now? Was it
couch.
Once belonged to Norman Mailer?
I just didn't want to mess up the Norman Mailer couch. The second night I had to sleep on the fucking.
I rode naked and the dead on this couch.
So the second night I slept on the ground, and that you know I'm just too fucking
on the
old.
Ground.
On the floor. On the floor.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, and that didn't work at all. The third night, I finally slept on the one air mattress in the room, and that
an arrow bed.
I finally was able to sleep the third night, but the first two nights, I doubt I got an hour of sleep each night.
Just the fucking crazy snoring.
I was trying to catch up.
New Yorker boys, I swear to God, that's where, and I understand that's where Norton and a lot of the guys were staying was the New Yorker.
Yeah, the New Yorker seemed to be the hot hotel of choice.
It's right down the street from Madison Square Garden, and it's a walk, but not a terrible walk for the Javits Center.
Three blocks.
That's a little more than three blocks.
If it wasn't cold out, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been nothing.
No, in April,
we know the route from the New Yorker to the Javits Center very well now.
Although the New Yorker had some issues. It was a nice lobby.
The
rooms were
very small. Yeah, they're small.
And our friends from the Bullpen Bulletins podcast,
Dave and Vince, and then
Pat and Walker. Whacker.
They had four guys in one of those rooms.
That's a lot of boys.
That's okay.
The first morning after the first night there, Dave rolls out of the bed.
Pat,
and there's a.
Wasn't it?
Well, no, it was the bed. Oh, was it? I thought, yeah. He rolls out of bed. There's a used condom rolls out of the sheets with him.
Yikes!
So needless to say, they got a different room, and I think they got a little money off of what they were paying.
Well, yeah, that's good. I don't know if they paid for their second night there. So.
And actually, Sean McKeever, you'll hear. We're gonna hear Mike and Sean McKeever talking. McKeever actually found out about it before he had met Pat. And
I told him
the first thing he mentions the fact
they were complaining the hotel when McKeever and Norton walked out, and Norton was like, "What are you up to?" I'm like, "They found it." The first thing I said was, they found a condom in the bed. That was like the only thing I had to say.
And poor Pat. Pat works in the hotel industry. And he actually does a webcomic called HoCal, and which is...
the bizarre stories of Pat's life as a career
and
as a hotel
are
manager.
Bizarre.
And
they
so
are.
Now they have their first HoCal Goes on the Road webcomic.
No kidding.
So,
oh, my God. Which, poor Pat.
But other than that, it was great. It was a great trip. Other than I didn't sleep, Chris is a pain in the ass to travel with, and condoms randomly placed in your bed.
Wow.
Other than...
We didn't have that problem last year, me and Clava. We had a very nice day at the
It was
York
really
place.
Funny. I wish, everyone, we did. Who, we truly I wish did. Everyone who listens to the podcast could have seen us as we were leaving the airport, where none of us wanted to talk to each other. We're just like, fuck you, I'm taking my bag and leaving.
Oh, is this Sunday?
Yeah, we're just like, I'll see you later,
no,
dude.
No, seriously, I'm waiting for my luggage to come out of the baggage pickup, and I look at Tom. I'm like, how are you getting home, Tom? He's like, I'm riding the train. I was like, oh, me too. And I'm like, you want to wait for my bag? And he's like, no, I'm going to go.
And then I'm like, yeah, and I'm leaving too. My wife's waiting for me. Bye.
I didn't want to talk to anyone or have to have conversation.
Sounds like everyone had a really nice time.
No, we did. We did have a good time. We had a lot of fun.
Obviously, you're still talking to each other, so that's good.
You have to sit at the same table with someone for like 3 days, and you're like, dude.
Oh, Doug and I were done with each other.
You just get sick of each other.
Oh, no, Doug and I were totally done with each other by the last day. It's like, hey, man, do we have to, like, you know, go everywhere you want to go?
I just want a moment alone.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, really, exactly. That's kind of
what
it was.
Could I get one moment by myself?
Well, because I was like, Doug,
you'd quit telling me the history of fucking New York whole time.
Did you guys stay together the entire time, or did you guys
have a chance to?
We were shackled.
Tom ran off a few times, but otherwise.
You didn't have a room clamped down like they did last year, where they, you know, the fire marshal, there was a problem with the room.
No,
you can get in
there. That's good.
Yeah, they had, the only issue I saw is on... On Friday, they had a little bit of a problem going up to Artist Alley. They like were slowing down people going on the escalator. They were stopping it for a little while.
50 people out.
Okay.
In.
Because they had some issues then. But then by Saturday, it didn't seem like that was a problem. And there wasn't really any issue.
Did you attend any panels, or were you not? Was anybody? None of it.
Didn't make one panel. No. We did have one interesting story about getting into the con, though. They had some issues with the professionals. We had press passes and exhibitor passes. And on Saturday when we got there a little early before the con opened.
The line around the Javits.
Couldn't believe it. Huge line. We walk right in, and we had our exhibitor passes, so they were letting us in. They weren't letting in, you know, anyone else, including anyone that had a professional pass. Mm-hmm. So me and Chris and Tom walk through the line, and all of a sudden, as I'm walking through the line, I see this guy standing there sort of talking with one of the security. They wouldn't let him in. And I look, and he looked familiar from the back, but when he got in front of him, I turn around and look, and it was Jim Steranko. And they wouldn't let him in, and he's just like, wow, what the hell, you know.
So we walk over,
and Chris walk over, and I'm like, hey, I know you don't know this guy, but he's, you know, he's a legend in this industry. He's a guest of honor at the New York Comic Con. You really need to let him in. So that guy's like, all right, you know, he looks at his pass, he looks at us, our passes and everything, and he's like, all right, fine. So we kind of usher Jim Steranko
to the next checkpoint. 5 feet away.
And Steranko,
he's just cracking jokes with us the entire way.
He's a wonderful guy.
I've heard stories that, you know, and obviously false stories about how Jim Steranko is, you know, it's just kind of a snarky, you know, just kind of...
He's like, hey, wait a minute, they can't start this con without me. What's going on here?
He was great.
He was real funny.
So we get
to the second
checkpoint,
and they Same that thing. Guy wouldn't do anything. I don't. He's like, I'm not trying to, you know, argue who you are, but you don't have the right pass.
Right.
The funny thing is,
so,
the checkpoints are like 5 feet away.
Yeah,
someone's gonna pull some fucking scam between the five feet. As we found out later,
if you just stood there long enough and waited, they would like not even pay attention to you, and you could just walk right in anyway.
So
it didn't really matter.
I end up, you know, this guy's not gonna win it, so I go back to the first checkpoint, grab a staff person. They have the red staff shirt. I was like, hey, they're not gonna let Jim Steranko in pass, and the guy kind of looks at me. He's like, "I'll be right there." So you know,
well, that's
he,
good.
He comes down, and we go on up, and we find out later that Jim got in.
But before that happened, I turned around and went, "Suck it, Steranko! I'm getting in the con, and you're not.
I'm a legend of getting into cons, and you are just a man."
That's what happened last year with the crackdown, and they weren't letting people in. And the best story I heard was the guy from Archie Comics. Literally, is like, "I am the president of Archie Comics. I am one of the main exhibitors of this show. I demand to be let in." And he got in. And it's great because DiDio didn't get in, Quesada didn't get in, but
yeah,
Ruckin
Archie
didn't get
did.
Archie,
awesome.
Archie got in.
But yeah, exactly. And he just kind of,
it's
you're not going to get a table, you know, at, you know, Tavern on the Green by saying I'm the president of Archie Comics. Damn it.
Comics.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you know, all the security guys, they're just doing their jobs. They don't know. They don't know Jim Steranko from Adam. You
know
what I mean?
But
they have no clue of, and you know, it was strange, though, that they had the policy of not, you know, letting in exhibitors, letting in press, but if your badge said professional, they wouldn't let you in.
Well,
it just seemed like a strange...
I think that they really, next year, they need to have guest of honor badges, and
no,
those guys
I think,
just need to have...
I think they need to realize that professionals, it's not just... Professionals need to be on the floor as well. They are there to be seen and may want need to be situated much as an exhibitor does. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't there, but I heard about what happened this year. I heard about what happened last year. It's surprising they're still having problems with things like that, given the problems they had last year. And,
well,
I understand that things went better.
They did go. I thought. Well, I wasn't there last year, but from all the stories that I heard, it seemed like
I
and what I've heard from other people.
There's something wrong with the system. Whenever fucking the three
Thank
of us
you.
Can walk
yeah,
in,
well,
it's
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Well,
and
there's
the,
still
know.
Certainly issues with it, and I think you know another thing that I thought was a bit of a negative was just the layout of it. I mean, you had Artist Alley upstairs, only one escalator going up to it. And you had tons of people trying to get in there.
Funneling through.
And not only that, the aisles in Artist Alley were very cramped.
Like 6 feet,
I mean,
yeah.
you had
That's
just
all
huge
it was on the main floor
you,
with Artist Alley last
year.
Yeah,
and I think that's something they need to address.
I really enjoyed my New York experience, but call me a homer, whatever. The layout in Chicago, I like much more because it's all one level.
Yeah.
It's all wide open.
Yeah. Well, and Chicago, in fairness, has been doing it for decades.
Well,
so
right,
exactly. Kind of
got it
down
exactly.
to a science
they
and everything.
I think it was a good. I mean, I thought there were some issues. There's some things they can improve on, and I think they will. Showing. You
I
know,
think
they,
next year's going to be much better.
Oh yeah, and first thing that they're doing in the move in the right direction, moving it to April.
Yeah.
Which is interesting though because, you know, New York for 2 years now has you know kicked off the convention season. And now that's going to fall to, I guess, WonderCon.
Yeah.
Or MegaCon. I mean, you know, and it'll be a nice alleviation for MegaCon, which I think still had a good number of creators, despite being so close to New York.
But you had a lot of people that were, you know, it's like going from MegaCon to New York, and a lot of people just didn't want to make that, you know.
Or you had the other side, too, where it's like, well, which would I rather be in winter, Orlando or in New York,
yeah,
and Orlando won. And MegaCon, I think, or I should say WonderCon is, you know, obviously doing well. It's, you know, it just happened this past weekend in San Francisco, and they've got a good number of creators and stuff. I know Jeff Loeb didn't go to New York, but he's at WonderCon, for example.
I think New York's going to be amazing. As it keeps going,
I think it's
going to
keep getting bigger. I think.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because being in January, they position themselves at a good time from a media standpoint. The other ancillary things that are there at the comic convention, much like San Diego, where it's 6 months in between New York and San Diego, so there's a reason to be at both.
I will say that as far as like the media coverage, there were. I mean, I saw so many cameras and you know, local television and like G4 and. I mean, there was a ton more media there than you would see.
There was a guy dressed up as a thermal man who I had to play around with for like
you did.
A while. Yeah.
But
I should check out their website.
There was a ton of media there. I mean, it just seemed like the media coverage was unbelievable. I mean,
it was
a
huge show.
You know, and you look at it in hindsight. I mean, you know, you had David Letterman talked about the New York Comic Con the other night.
Colbert was there.
And
did you get a chance to see Colbert?
No,
actually didn't. That was one of the other things that was weird. The way it was laid out is, you know, the main convention floor were all the publishers, or the majority of the publishers, and then you had some retailers, probably a third of the floor was retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Go upstairs the escalators, and there was Artist Alley.
And then
the podcast arena. But then past that
was the gaming area.
Okay. And then surrounding the gaming area was, like, the VIP signings. But nobody knew where they were at because they were, I mean, they were literally hidden. We had people coming up to our table asking us where signings, and we didn't even know.
Where's George Perez?
Yeah.
Were you close enough to see the lines? And how were the lines for the VIP signings?
They were good, but not like
huge.
Not
everybody.
I know. That at one point, like George Perez, like the first day, there was nobody in line because nobody knew he was there.
Interesting.
You know, and the funny thing is, like we saw, they had the people. There had like two or three of the actors from Who Wants to Be a Superhero there.
Yes,
those lines were fucking huge. Yeah. They were
isn't
like
that crazy?
50 deep to see those guys.
Who are the cool non-superhero or non-comic book celebrities that you guys saw?
Peter Mayhew.
Peter Mayhew we saw.
Oh, he's great.
Had a cigarette with Peter Mayhew.
Very cool.
Good guy. Gary Coleman.
I had about a 10-minute conversation with Gary Coleman.
He was wearing moon boots and acid-washed denim jacket.
Yeah.
Was like yes.
Gary
stuff.
Coleman was really cool. I sat down and...
He's much smaller than I thought he was.
Yeah,
I mean, he's really... I shook his hand. The first day he was there, there was nobody there. Nobody. So I'm like...
Chicago Connection say, dude, I was watching on those Hubert Dahl commercials and stuff like that?
No, I didn't mention
that. Because that's how far back Chicago is with Gary Coleman? Go ahead.
But...
it's from Zion.
But man, he's a little guy.
Zion.
He's a lot littler than I thought he was. But there were some...
he says it sounds like it's Krypton's sister
Zion.
Planet.
Zion. There were some people from Buffy that were there.
Oh, really? Which Buffy
Xander
people?
And...
Oh, cool. Really? Nick Sher...
Yeah.
Nick...
he was
Nick,
the big...
Brendan.
Brendan, thank you.
Brendan Harris?
Who else was there?
Nicholas Brendan. Nicholas Brendan.
Xander.
Yeah.
And who else?
It was basically everyone but... Buffy, Willow,
Cordelia,
and Giles,
yeah.
And Angel. Everybody else was there.
All
really?
All those second.
I heard, yeah, actually, Dawn was there, and I know she's kind of having her own career now. Wasn't she at the New York Con?
Maybe.
I think
I'm
so, yeah.
Sure.
I think she was, yeah.
Yeah.
The girl from Heroes, Hayden.
The cheerleader?
Hayden Pantalone.
Is she a doll?
Whatever.
But she's tiny, too.
She's small.
It's so funny, man, and you do, or at least I do.
I swallowed her.
I was going to say, I feel like a dirty old man, because it's like, man, she's, and I felt that way when I met Alicia
Silverstone.
Yeah,
but you know what? They promote that. I mean,
well,
you know, the show and everything they do.
Oh, my
with
God.
Her,
it's like, yeah, here's my 16-year-old kid.
Yeah, exactly.
How you doing? It's like, holy cow.
But who else was there? Colbert was there. Obviously, we didn't see Colbert, though.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, the guys that you did see. So, yeah, Gary.
We saw Ray Park. Walk.
Ray Park.
Very
cool.
Yeah, look forward to his eventual
his,
Iron Fist movie.
He had his earphones in, or I would have yelled, hey! But he just was like...
We honestly, John, we were at the table so much, and we had so much going on at our table that we didn't really have that much a chance to
I had a
to
really
walk
creepy
around.
A middle-aged woman asked me someone from Buffy, where someone from Buffy was signing, and I... Because I was wearing a red Flash t-shirt, which from behind made me look like I worked for the con.
because they were
came up to me and was like, where is so-and-so? I'm like, what? I'm like, she's like, so-and-so from Buffy. I'm like, I don't know. And she just looked at me like, what a dick. And she's probably like, dude, wrote a complaint letter.
Talking to Gary Coleman, he's, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, because we're kind of the ass end of the convention hall. And I'm talking to Gary Coleman, and he's like, yeah, you know, I do these, you know, couple times a year, and you know what me and Chewbacca have in common, I have no idea.
But it's that juxtaposition of celebrities.
It is strange.
Exactly.
That's such a weird thing.
Well, like
that
I
they
said,
do
that's
that.
That's how the Orlando FX Con was. I literally would see Peter Graves every morning, and it was like Mayberry, and it was like, "How you doing, Mr. Graves? Hi, John. Hi, John." And it was like, "Okay." And then, and I'm sharing a cab with Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice.
And yeah, no, it is. It's that kind of Forrest Gumpian. Yeah, I was on the Love Boat, and all of a sudden, you know, Dick Shawn showed up, and you know, Cloris Leachman sang a song, and then we all went home.
It is so bizarre. The conventions. If you've never been to a con, they are
go.
Just for the experience.
This is the kind of bizarre shit that happens. Mark Beatty from Dark Tower.
Yep.
He's like, hey, one of his favorite all-time artists is Michael Golden.
Yep.
And he went over and commissioned a Captain America sketch from Michael Golden. And he's like, hey, you know, I went over and met him. Why don't you come on over, talk with him for a couple minutes and see about maybe getting him on the show at some point. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I walk over with Mark, and I walk up and shake hands with Michael Golden, which is great. He's an amazing artist.
Yes, indeed. Met him in Orlando as well. Go ahead.
And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him a little bit, and his agent is talking to another guy, and you know, I turn around, and it's Chris Claremont.
There you go.
And so then I start talking with Chris Claremont, and then Gail Simone walks up. And so I'm sitting there talking with Michael Golden,
and
Chris Claremont,
and a wild three-way.
And then my head exploded.
Be a penthouse.
You know, I mean,
it is a bizarre, that is what is so fun about
conventions. I talked about it on the Monday episode. I literally walked into Paul Levitz like twice, just like bumped into him. And said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, excuse me. You know, it's just the people that you see at convention. It's
called
fun.
Paul
it's
Levitz
so
a nerd twice.
No, and I look forward to your guys' first San Diego because that's San Diego. As much as New York was like that for me last year, San Diego even more so.
Well, the thing I keep hearing is that everyone at the con is like, you know, in 4 years or 5 years, New York, they're really trying to make New York the East Coast version of San Diego.
Right. No, and it makes sense, and I think they will achieve that. Although, again, moving it to April, you know, it does make it only, you know, 3 months before. I guess that's far enough away that it's still significant, and people will probably hit both.
So it was cold there. It sucked.
Well, that's the thing, though. Yeah, I mean,
it was cold.
Well, you guys
well
lucky
that's
that,
because
you, know,
you
beat the storm.
It's
I guess
you guys you guys didn't dress properly.
I did
the
not.
Other hand, my hands and I had my hat and gloves.
I had to try
that.
And find clothing
yeah.
while I was there. I went for style and not comfort, unfortunately, and yeah, it didn't work out.
You mentioned Michael Golden. Do you want to give a listen to?
Let's go ahead and do that.
Let's listen to Michael
Golden. Had a nice little talk with him. Thanks, John.
We're on the floor with Michael Golden. Michael, how you doing?
Not too bad so far.
All right. Well, this is the first convention that you've done in quite a while. What was your last convention?
The last convention I did was FX down in Florida a month ago.
Oh, okay. So it really hasn't been that long ago. I thought there had been quite a gap in between. So.
Well, there was a decade between the convention I did a decade ago. And I then Baltimore last year, and then since then my agent has been having me bounce all over the place doing conventions.
Those agents will get you running pretty ragged on them.
Yep. That's the only answer I can give that one. Yep.
Well, obviously we know you work from Micronauts, you know, going back into the 70s, 80s, and a very illustrious career, but you say very active. You're coming back now, and you know, Jackie Chan, what is on the immediate horizon for Micronauts?
Well, on the immediate horizon, I'm doing covers for all kinds of companies, Marvel, DC. I'm doing Battlestar Galactica covers for Dynamite. Doing the Alamore collected works for Wildstorm. Story work, I've got a spirit story that I'm going to be doing with Gail Simone, who was here just a second ago. You missed her.
Wow.
Then I've got some personal projects that are in the works that I can't really talk about right now. I hate to say that they're secret projects because they're not secret. It's just that they've got a lot of attachments to them right now that I don't want to mess up by spilling the beans.
Nice. Working with Gail Simone is very exciting. She's a fantastic writer. Was this the first chance that you've had to meet her in person?
Yes, first time I met her in person. We worked on the Birds of Prey job. Loved her writing. When they asked me to do the spirit story, the first thing I said was, well, is Gail Simone one of the writers? The email back said, yes, she is. And I said, well, then I'll do a story. As long as she's the writer, I'll do the story.
That's outstanding. Your Vampirilla poster, is this the official New York Comic Con poster this year?
I believe it is. Renee set that up with the convention folks, and they chose the Vampirilla image. Very evocative or provocative, whichever. I'm proud that I got to be the poster child for this one.
Absolutely. And have the prints here at your table. They've been moving very well throughout the.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Been selling them, not like hot cakes, but you know, in the cold, but been moving them right along.
Yeah. No, this is my first convention in New York. This is the second year for the New York Comic Con. Has the convention experience been pretty favorable for you so far?
Been busy, so I'm going to say, yeah, it's favorable. You know, I'm meeting a lot of folks, talking to a lot of people. Been reviewing portfolios, doing the whole thing. So, yeah.
What's up on the convention docket for the rest of 2007?
Oh, well, you'd have to talk to Renee about that. She just, like, comes out to my studio, slaps me on the head, and says it's time to go. But I believe the next one I'm doing is Emerald City next month, I believe. And we're doing San Diego. We're going to be in Europe for 3 or 4 shows. All over the planet. So, you know, come and see me.
is there a web address where people can keep up with your schedule?
Yes, there is. Renee has her website, evainc.com. And she's going to be putting the schedule up of my appearances and available merchandise and how to contact me through her and all kinds of things.
Outstanding. Well, Mr. Golden, you're an artist. It's an honor to talk with you. Glad that you're having a great convention, and hopefully we will see you at the next one.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, well, there's a little talk with Michael Golden. I think there's probably a better than fair chance that you'll hear more from Michael Golden in the next month or two here on Around
Fair
Comics.
To Midland.
Fair to
he's
Midland.
He's got so
Midland.
Much stuff coming out, too.
Yeah. He and Gail Simone are doing a spirit story.
Yes. I'm
very excited about that.
Cool. That is cool.
We had talked about it on Monday, but some of the most exciting news for us and doing this whole podcast thing is... What's great is seeing good things happen to good people that you've met along the way.
And bad things happen to bad people.
And if you can't find good things that happen to good people, you'll settle for good things that happen to people that you know.
Which would include Mike Norton, even though Mike is a good guy.
No, Mike's a good person. And we happen to know him.
And we do happen to know him. And Mike, the news was finally released that he was signed to a DC exclusive.
Yeah. 2 year, yeah. 2 year
he's
going to
be the regular ongoing artist for the all-new Atom with Gail Simone. And we were lucky enough to have he and his friend and co-creator of Gravity.
And the Waiting Room.
And the Waiting Room, that's right. It's going way back. Very good, John. That's why we have you here.
Reach. Brought them together.
They were kind enough to sign at our table to help benefit Hero. And we decided to mix things up a little bit. We were quite honestly tired of interviewing people at that point.
Absolutely.
So who was better to interview Sean McKeever than his partner in crime, Mike Norton?
Probably anybody.
Here comes the Bob Evans cast.
Wait a minute. If we're recording, that means that now Suntress won't have me on for another 2 months, right?
Not really. Much. Just don't talk about your books at all.
Okay, well, I can't talk about Countdown anyway.
So what happens in Countdown?
Well, first...
how are people supposed to file Countdown in their long boxes? Because if it's 51 and then 50,
well,
I'm already dreading
it's just,
that.
It's
well, that's what Zero Hour did, too, so ask them what they did for Zero Hour.
It's 60 issues of just a watch face, and each issue is a different
second. And Andy Rooney.
Why do they call them comic books if they're not funny? That's an answer.
Why do they call them comic books if they're not funny? I don't get it. You know, actually, it was a conundrum for me with Countdown because I list all the items on my site by SKU, and I create like a SKU number for each thing. So like I'm like,
such a
well,
nerd.
Countdown 51 has to become Countdown 1 for my purposes.
For record keeping.
Or then I thought I could make it Countdown 001051. Or 051001.
Holy crap. You know,
and then 050002. 049003.
The side of Sean McKeever that not everyone.
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
What do I do before I go to bed, Mike?
Oh, yeah, you do algebra. What's up with that?
College algebra now. I'm doing the college algebra book, then next is trigonometry,
wow.
And then statistics. Just because
he's a nerd.
I kind of like it. I didn't do a lot of advanced math in high school, but I'm good at math. And I do like a lot of website stuff, and so I want to get to the point where I understand like algorithms. Because I also like to make, I made this game called Comic Book Mogul.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an online game.
Comic Book Failure.
Yeah, that's what Mike calls it. It is Comic Book Failure now because I had to close it down because I had a problem with the database. It was an access.
Because
access,
you don't know math.
Access couldn't handle it.
Well, no. Well,
someone introduced a series that comes down.
Eventually, I want to create, like, I want to be able to create, like, competitors, the computer competitors for it. And to do that, you need to really understand algorithms and stuff.
And also, I like to say algorithms.
You do realize how much more money you could make not doing comics.
Yeah, but I have to learn all this stuff before I can make that money.
You got some people.
Oh, man, you could. Oh, that's crazy.
Or just looked away. Scared him off.
Way to go, dude.
Don't ever point at him.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Sweet. Oh, you had mics on him already?
Yeah. Nope.
Me first or not at all.
Oh, I should have told you about that. It's kind of a dick.
My Sean Dick McKeever.
No, you know what I am? I'm pathetic, I found out.
Really?
A guy at the DC booth said I was pathetic because he came up to me in the
market. Was that your editor?
Yeah. It was actually my dad.
You are pathetic.
No, I was talking to one of the marketing guys there, and this guy comes up, and he's like, how come you guys aren't wearing these buttons that you guys have here? And they had, like, that flash button, and they had DC button. And he's like, well, I'm wearing a DC shirt. He's like, okay, you're all right, but you're pathetic, no offense. Because I wasn't wearing my pieces of flair.
That man was Dan DiDio.
That man was Joe Quesada.
I run DC Comics like Fridays. You better wear your buttons.
Did you offer them?
You have a better silver Sharpie than mine. I think mine's
when you broke. When you write a book, you have to make sure that the first part's like offering a shareable starter. You have to make sure that there's appetizers for the future.
It's got to be jalapeno poppers.
The question was, how does it feel to have your friend Sean have won an Eisner and now sign an exclusive with DC? And
so where are you from?
Appreciate that. I'm
very upset. I don't want to cry.
My coattails don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's right. I've developed a specially designed Yoda backpack for him to carry around me on his back. When he goes to have his meetings at DC. we're going to be like Master Blaster from Thunderdome.
Let's keep that metaphorical, because you may have lost weight, but you're still a Wookiee.
Yeah, well...
No, you're no Peter Mayhew.
I'm no Peter Mayhew.
No. You, sir, are no Peter Mayhew.
Thou art no Chewbacca.
God, you're near.
I don't think we've met officially, Sean.
I know you're from the Bendis Boards, of course.
Yeah.
The famous Pat White.
I don't know about that.
Infamous.
I don't know about that either.
You are.
He's got the best hotel story so far.
Oh.
This weekend? I haven't heard of hotel story.
The used condom?
That was your room that you had.
That was our room.
I apologize for that, by the way.
That's okay. You know, you probably put together.
Mike and I could not wait.
You were reenacting your final script of Spider-Man.
Hey, ladies, I have a DC exclusive.
Spider-Man loves Mary Jane.
Spider-Man loves not for
Spider-Man loves Mary Jane. Colin Rip for her pleasure.
You're only allowed to do dry humping.
Not even.
Hand holding. Erotic hand.
Yes, that's what love means.
That's what
holding hands and hugging and a little bit and kissing on the lips, just
on the touch.
Dry.
And don't
mouth
like
closed.
What do you have left at Marvel? It's just.
I have a Spider-Man family script left to do first. Well, I can't say for who.
Oh, who's drawing it?
Special artist is drawing it.
I know who's drawing
and
it.
And coloring it.
You want me to tell everybody?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I'm allowed to. Well, what are they going to do if I tell? They're not going to fire me.
I think they are, actually.
How can they do that?
Yeah, they're just going to say, screw it.
And I have a painted one-shot that hasn't been announced yet. Mike Mayhew.
Oh, yeah, that
That's
looks awesome.
I haven't said who I'm doing that with. You got a scoop.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a painted one-shot with Mike Mayhew.
Yes.
And it's, oh, man.
It is very
Every
pretty.
Every time I get a page, I want to...
And it looks a lot different for him.
Yeah, he's doing watercolors.
It's not
there's no logarithm for that. You never figure out the math of that shot.
Well, I have a question for you.
Actually, there's like, they do have like...
I had a question for you. Now that you're exclusive with DC, and I know Mike's been doing some work for DC, any chance we'll see the Gravity team reunite at DC?
Not if I'm lucky.
son of a whore. So, was the question, are we going to do Gravity at DC?
No, I just meant the Gravity
Blue Beetle.
Team.
Blue Beetle.
You know, I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. It'll happen, I'm sure.
It better.
It just won't be on anything good.
It won't be on anything good, yeah. And, you know, you'll have to count, if it's a new if it's a new creation, you're just going to have to count the days until he gets killed.
Yeah.
All right, definitely keep your eyes open for anything from Mike Norton and Sean McKeever.
We got a little scoop there from Sean on the painted one-shot he's doing with...
Condom Countdown.
Yes, Condom Countdown. He's doing painted... No. But looking
these
forward to
these guys are going to be
stables. They're going to be
well,
I think McKeever and Norton are. I mean, both those guys.
I can't wait.
I think
for
Norton
to
fits
reunite.
In so much better. Mike, I think his style fits in a lot better with books, with a lot of the DC books,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of the feel of DC stuff than Marvel. Maybe Marvel a little bit more.
Yeah,
and those guys were both sort of relegated to like you know the kids stuff. You know,
yes.
the Marvel Adventures and that kind of stuff for whatever reason. Mike's style, you know. It's a little cartoony, or at least he's gotten kind of known as having a bit of a cartoony style, while I don't think he necessarily can only do that. I think he's just sort of been shoehorned into that. But even so, if it was the case, I mean, his style just seems to fit some DC stuff more so.
What I see with Mike is that he is, thank God, the perfect example of someone that gets up in the morning, does his work, works hard. If they ask him to do something extra, he does it. And now it's paid off.
He's going
to
be on the Adam won't be late because of Mike.
Yeah, the Adam will not be late because of Mike.
Yeah, you know,
no question.
We know
no
his.
Question.
We know his. And there are enough artists out there that you know get up late, work whenever they feel like it, I guess, and send stuff off. Mike is not that way.
Mike
takes
is
it very
so
serious.
Paranoid about like being late. He is
yeah,
so.
Sure.
I mean, he talks about it all the time. About
we're giving
like,
him
it,
a complex
it,
right
it
now.
It scares him. You know, he like has nightmares about being late on stuff, and which for a freelancer is very important.
He gets it.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's a great artist. We're all so happy for Mike because we
you
know
bet.
Him, and he's such a good guy and such a talented artist. And
no,
you know,
he deserves.
He does.
His,
he
his career deserves to advance,
yes,
and I'm glad it's
absolutely
will immediately go up in value.
Yes,
well, that's true too.
And
that's a good
and,
point.
And,
so we are
Sean,
selfish.
And
about.
Sean's a damn talented writer, so good for him too.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think Marvel really messed up not, you know, putting him on that exclusive, and I think DC really seized
scooped
a wonderful
him.
Opportunity to get a great writer in their
yeah.
stable.
And what
so
I love about
Sean,
him and got him and Andrew Beechin, who's going to be writing Teen Titans, are guys who can write young people dialogue
sure
well, which I think might be important to DC
oh, yeah.
in the next year or two.
And I believe, did he acknowledge, and I'm sorry I didn't hear it because I went off to pee, but did he acknowledge that, is he working on Countdown? Is Sean is one of the
yeah, Sean is,
Countdown.
Sean, he can't talk about it, but
right.
he is one of
yeah,
the
yeah, so I'm looking forward to see what aspects of Countdown. Yeah.
And what I love about
do.
Sean is that he loves Bob Evans. And and you can get a good plate of biscuits and gravy at Bob
Christ.
Evans.
Go to a fucking diner with Chris in Chicago, and he'll ask about in New,
New
York.
York.
And he'll ask
we're
about biscuits
we're,
and gravy.
Yeah, we're
at
the diner.
The New Yorker.
The diner.
The New Yorker
attached
to the New Yorker.
Oh no, I know exactly the diner.
The TikTok
yes.
diner.
You bet. I've
we're sitting there, and you know, the waiter comes up and asks us what we and we look at our menus and everything, and it's not on the menu, but Chris decides to ask anyway. You got biscuits and gravy, and the guy's like, oh yeah, we got biscuits. And he's like, wait a minute. And then he thought about it. He's like, and then he heard the in gravy part. And he's like, no, no, we don't have that. And he's like, what are you, from Mississippi? And the whole rest of the meal, he just sort of like, you know,
that's
kind of
keeps,
awesome.
Keeps giving me the
keeps
needle
giving
the entire
him,
time.
And Tom and I are just like shaking our heads like you're in the middle of Manhattan.
Exactly, man.
And you're asking for biscuits and gravy.
I was at a diner. You order
no,
biscuits
you
and
don't,
gravy.
No,
you
don't know.
You had your farmer New York moment, and it's okay because it happens to everybody.
Well, I got
to
tell you.
I'll cop to mine in a moment, so go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I'm not the most, like, you know, worldly of person, but I have a certain amount of street smarts about me. I mean, I, you know.
He's good in a knife fight.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I can. No,
which is why we ride with Sal.
I have a certain, but the whole, you know, like the flight, cab ride, you know, all the way to New York, I'm just sitting here watching Chris, and finally I had to say something because he was like, his head's on a swivel, you know, looking around at all the big buildings and you know, and he's just like, I'm like, Chris, do
New
me
York,
a favor.
New York, it's a wonderful town.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's like, and I'm like, Chris, do me a favor. Please do not tell everyone you run into that you're, you know, from St. Louis and this is your first time in New York. I really don't feel like getting mugged.
Do you like, you know, hi.
It was just, hi, how you doing? I'm from St. Louis. How you doing? Have you ever been to St. Louis? And it's just like, Jesus Christ, just settle down. I mean, you know,
we get in a cab
and the first thing he says, you know, this is our first time in New York. Well, why are you telling people that? Why are you?
You know what the thing
what
was?
What is wrong with
mug
you?
Me, mug
but the
me.
The thing was, yeah. The cabbie only stole one of our wallets.
That's well, a good thing.
He said, what? He's like, I'm going to pick one of you, and one of you is going to give me your wallet. The other two can walk away.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, that's the fast hotel you've heard about since 9/11.
Well,
that
next
New York
year
is known
it won't
for.
Be my first trip.
Well, that's yeah, good. Certainly
so,
it won't.
In fairness, my first trip to
give
New
York.
Give
me your hayseed story, please. Take some of the heat off me, John.
I'd be happy to. And this is someone who grew up in Chicago and stuff. We're walking through Manhattan. Mike North and I, famous radio personality. It was our first trip to New York. And we're walking down 8th Avenue, and we see one of the tall skyscrapers. And he's like, hey, that's the Empire State Building. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've seen that a million times. And we're all looking at all fascinating stuff, and a guy just walks by and goes, it's a Chrysler Building, idiots. Okay, and I'm like, Abbott and Costello make it to New York. Here we are.
Genus City's great, isn't it, Abbott?
You know, because that's okay. It happens, man. You learn your lesson. They you broke your cherry.
Yep.
Don't worry about
I'm
it.
I'm good.
Don't worry about it. Keep your head down.
They should still have biscuits
gonna
and gravy.
They're going to add it to the menu.
Yeah, it's not going to
be biscuits and gravy.
Did you go to any, like, did you go to, like, the Carnegie Deli? Did you go to...
I went to, on Sunday, I went out to lunch with my friends to the Cherokee Diner.
Cool.
Which was Native American themed, which we didn't realize until we got in, where it was, like, we're, like, looking around, we're, like, this is... Native American themed, and we were a little weirded out. But I had
we
a
did go to KGB's,
challenge.
The communist themed
oh, yeah.
bar
oh,
on the
sure.
Lower East Side.
On a Saturday, we met up with Matt, who I was staying with. My friend Pat, who also lives in New York, is he won't be happy until he finds the smallest bar that no one knows about,
right.
That people go to, and they're big fans of this bar on the Lower East Side called KGB on the corner of 2nd Avenue and 4th Street.
Ding!
Ding!
Little
it's
plug
Soviet
for you.
Themed, where it's all painted red on the inside, and all the posters are like
propaganda.
Socialist
Stalin
realism.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was a nice bar, though. I had a great time.
Very cool.
I was mad hammered by that.
Excellent. No, you know, and that's...
We ate at the base of the Chrysler Building, or the Empire State Building.
Oh, very nice.
I can't tell the difference between two of them.
No, you know, I mean... I was trying to drum up business with Sirius when I was at the New York Con last year, and I, you know, took a cab, got there Friday afternoon, saw some people and stuff, and then, like, mid-afternoon went and tried to, you know, drum up business. And it's so great, and you do appreciate just the magnitude of Manhattan, because it's like, I was on the Avenue of the Americas, and it's like, oh, great, well, I'm standing in front of ABC, Simon & Schuster is just two buildings down. McGraw Hill is right there. All these publishers, Sirius is across the street, and it's like you are in the nerve center of the media capital of the world.
The only thing I regret is that I've heard stories about Charlito from Indie Spinnerack and Peter Rios and Jimmy, and I really think that I can hang with them. I think, like, if I get a really good head start.
Whoa! Wait a minute. If I could get more than an hour's sleep.
You don't need sleep.
Well, please.
Roll, man. You got to just
easy
go.
For the guy that's fucking out like
no,
that on the floor.
That's
20
roll,
seconds.
Sal's got children weighing him down, man. You got to understand. It's like
I can hang with anybody.
All right. Well, we talked about my big geek out moment.
Oh, wait. I did have one.
Oh, go ahead.
One more.
Go ahead. You're going to embarrass me.
No, not at all. This is No.
There's time when Chris forgot to put his straw hat and his corn cob pipe away before he went to the con.
I can't.
Hi there. Where's the port authority?
On Saturday night, when we were trying to hook up with Tom, because he had ran off, and we were trying to meet him at that KGB bar.
Ran off.
Chris and I grab a cab, and we jump in the cab, and he takes off. And I'm
sitting
there.
That was funny.
And he never started the meter. And I'm sitting there going, "What is this? Some kind of scam?" Is he, you know, I'm like, I'm just mumbling. I'm like, "What the fuck is going? What the, you know?" I'm just kind of, you know, and Chris is sort of trying to calm me down, you know, because I'm like ready to like bitch at this cab driver.
I wish
like,
I would have been in the cab.
Well, the guy finally he gets to the destination.
He's talking on his phone the whole time.
As all cabbies will do.
Yeah, and he's like, "I'm like, what's the damage?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, I forgot to start the meter." I'm just like, "Oh, all right."
$95.
No, it was like $12 or whatever. It seemed like it was a little bit high.
Okay.
But I mean, the whole way there, I'm just like, "Oh, this guy's gonna try and rip me off." Because
$12 is probably about right.
$12 wasn't bad, you know. But it was just like that whole way there. I'm just like, "Oh, I'm gonna have to fight a fucking cab driver. I'm gonna have to. You know what I mean?"
And the kid from the St. Louis kid isn't gonna help you out.
Yeah, the St. Louis all kid. Right. Yeah, I'm just the whole. That's what I'm thinking. The whole rate of that.
Why can't we all just get along?
He's going to tell me it's.
Believe a cab driver when he tells you.
I'm just thinking. He's going to tell me it's going to be $36. I'm going to tell him to go fuck himself, and it's just going to be bad from there. And it's just like,
Sal had his city game face on.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No, you got to kind of cop that attitude sometimes. But the nice thing is, more times than not, there are a lot of good people.
Well, I tell you the things about New York that surprised me were. People were actually very nice. Yeah. I expected.
Yeah, I had
that
no.
That really is a myth. It is.
We only got stabbed once.
Yeah,
well, no, they deserved it.
Hey,
and
please excuse me. Thank yous. All the wait staff and all the places that we ate were very gracious.
What the fuck did you expect from wait staff?
Here's your sandwich.
Yeah,
Ed DeBevics.
It's only once,
Ed DeBevics.
Well, I mean, you hear the stereotypes of, you know, people in New York are rude and crude and just in a hurry.
Right,
and
it's all a myth.
And no, people were really, really nice. And
yeah, that's good. Absolutely. Gail Simone was saying the same thing, and so don't feel bad, man. Because then I think Gail was kind of concerned about, because she's like, you know, it's my first trip to New York too.
Yeah.
And she's like, and it was on her message board. Right, and all of us are the people who have been there before. We're like, you're going to have a great time. You are going to be so pleased. I love it. It's electric. I'm like you, Caters, and so I'm an old man, but I'm like, if I'm in New York, I don't have to worry about sleep. I'm up. I'm having too much fun.
I would die in New York. I have a friend who told me I would die in New York.
Yeah, you would never. You would run until you collapse and then die.
As we all know, as anyone who was with me this weekend saw what coffee does to me in the morning.
Yeah.
I become like,
I've never seen anybody react to coffee like Tom. It was like, no. And then all of a sudden a cup of coffee. Hey, what's going on?
He's on.
I was just like, holy shit.
That's the beauty of coffee.
Well, we have so much to cover with the rest of our New York Comic Con stories and whatnot.
Beer.
We're going to extend for another day. Hope you guys don't mind.
And I really have to pee. So we need to take a break. Yeah.
Tom's looking tired.
I apologize.
I'm ready to roll. I think it's great. You guys win a week without an episode, so now you're going to get, like, three.
Yes.
So
what a value for all of us.
Yeah,
yes.
So we said it was a Thursday episode. We lied. It's really Wednesday. Look for another episode on Friday. Want to remind everyone that that this episode is sponsored by Borders. Please remember to check them out for all of your collected editions.
Don't get hung up so much on the days.
www.borderstores.com.
Yes, look for a Borders near you. You can go to our site and find the store locator. Once again, a big thanks to the Hero Initiative. Please remember that the Hero Initiative there is there to help support veteran creators and give them a financial safety net. Please give back to the people that have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, please visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. We're going to be back on Friday with the second half of our New York Comic Con coverage. So
whatever day you listen to this.
Or whatever
don't
day.
Get hung
you
up on
could be a Tuesday.
Labels. Yeah.
The next episode.
The next episode.
Whatever. But
which is coming shortly.
79.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in...
And around comics.
Looking like a homosexual in a convention.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com. Or visit the Contact Us section of our website, Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know.